This is an interview with Mrs. Carrie Celeste Saunders McAdam, who was born and reared in Bridgeport as a part of the Black History Project of the Afro-American Educators Association, entitled A Study of Bridgeport Neighborhoods, A Black Perspective, 1900 to Present. I am Frances Judson, the interviewer. We are at 220 Davenport Street in Bridgeport, the home of Mrs. McAdam. The date is November 6, 1983. Mrs. McAdam, I see on your questionnaire that you filled out that you were born here in Bridgeport. Can you tell me something about your early childhood?
Well, my early childhood was spent in the West End. We lived on Ironson Avenue. There was just one building there. It was eight families in that was just all blacks. And we went to Maplewood School. And at that time in Maplewood School, it was, I never went to school with the, in the room, schoolroom was never any other blacks in schoolroom but me. I didn't go to associate, about, I don't mean associate, but I mean there wasn't, no, they weren't there. There was only about, well, in the building we lived in, I think I was counting the other day, and there was only about 12 of my brothers, my sister and myself, because my sister, she was much younger than me, and I was about out of school when she went to school. And at the time we went to school, there was all white children. And that is another thing I'd like to clear up in Bridgeport as far as segregation goes. We never had any segregation. Yeah, the black children went to school with the white children. And we never knew anything about segregation. And I suppose that it was prevalent, but I didn't realize it, because I never experienced it. And because I had gone into places, not like in the theater at the time, you couldn't go, you didn't sit downstairs in the theater, you sat in the balcony if you went, but the downstairs cost so much you wasn't really wanting to go down there anyway, couldn't afford it. And as far as the stores, you went to the stores, and there were, you know, certain big stores that the price of things kept you out of the stores, you didn't bother to go in anyway. See? And so, but as far as where we lived, why, the people were always very nice to us, and my brothers, they worked in the drugstore at the corner, and they worked in the market at the corner, and they were just young boys. They rode their bicycle, and they were responsible to they went and banked the druggist's money. My brother worked for Mr. Frank Ballard. He was a county commissioner, and he used to carry my brother around with him everywhere he went. And we lived across the street from the Murrins, and they're all lawyers here in Bridgeport now. And we lived next door to a school teacher, Miss Ball, and she used to teach out at Maplewood School. And we lived next door to the Wilkses, and many, many other people in the Lovegroves, and a couple of Judge Foster's daughters was in the room with me. And Lawyer Hall, his children went to Maplewood. And in fact, we came up in a better class in our neighborhood. And in fact, all our lives, we had to, but it's our own family life. Our family life, we were, for our pleasures, entertainment and whatnot, we had it at home. My father and my mother both played instruments, organ and piano. We had organ and piano. We always had a piano in our home, always had an organ, as long as I can remember. And my father and mother would play during the week. My father would play on the, he would teach us how to play games, like, and we would play pinochle as children. But we were never allowed to play for anything. We were never allowed to play for, you know, like gambling. That was out. And we were never allowed to play any games on Sunday. My father taught us how to dance. We weren't allowed to dance on Sunday. But Sunday, we went to Sunday school. My father and mother, Sunday afternoons after we had dinner, my father and mother would play the piano. One would play the piano, one would play the organ, sometime they'd play it together. And we would have him sing. And they would, the neighbors, you know, we'd get our family, because it would be my mother, father, and us children. And they would hear us singing, and they would come and gather down in our house, and we'd just have a big time singing hymns. Then Sunday, usually on Sunday mornings, we went to Sunday school, and Sunday afternoon, after I got older, my teens, I used to go down to AME Zion, where I'm a member now and have been for 60 years. I'd go down there, and we'd have what we called Red Shield meeting. And we leave the Red Shield meeting.
That's the organization of?
That's the organization of the church, the youth organization, is Red Shield. And then from there, we'd go about 6 o'clock. We'd go down there at 5 o'clock. And about 6:30, all of us would march up to Messiah, to BYPU. And we'd go to Sunday evening service. And then we'd all walk home over the hill over Washington Avenue. The parents and the children would all be walking home over the hill from Messiah. And when we get down to Park Avenue and Washington Avenue, Laurel Avenue there, then we would separate, because some of them lived up Park Avenue. Some of them lived out Lee Avenue, Barbara Taylor and this Margaret Taylor, they lived out in Lee Avenue. The Johnsons lived way out in North Park and out in Atwater Street. That's where they lived. They lived out there. And girlfriend of mine, Ruth Brown, they lived up Park Avenue. And we lived on Arniston Avenue. And we'd walk home Sunday nights over Washington Avenue Hill, because there was no other way to get home.
Now tell me, was Zion in the place where it is now?
Zion is the oldest. Zion is the second oldest black church in Bridgeport. Zion was in Bridgeport before it was the charter, before Bridgeport got its charter as a city. Bridgeport is the second oldest black church in Bridgeport. It's been on that corner right down there where it is for 143 years now. Since 1835, Zion has been right there.
Now where was Messiah? You leave?
Messiah was on Arch Street.
Oh.
Messiah was on Arch Street, but you see, since they have torn down the city downtown there, they tore Messiah down and built this new church, the old church. It was a nice brick church. And in fact, my grandmother, my father's mother, put the first $25 down to build that church.
Your father's mother?
My father's mother. That's what my mother's always told me. And she was a member of Messiah Baptist Church.
Mm-hmm. And this is to build the church that they had on Arch Street.
Yeah, that's the second church. Mm-hmm. The first church was a red brick church. Mm-hmm. And so they, when the thruway and all those things came through there, they took, you know, a lot of that property. And the church insisted on staying up there in that neighborhood, because they've been there ever since they've been built. And they gave them land over, or they bought land over here on Congress Street. But they was always over on Arch Street. Excuse me, that's just a block back of them. And that's where they, in fact, I think part of the church, part of the property is on Arch Street now. I think part of it, back of it is.
Mm-hmm.
The parking lot or something is on Arch Street. Mm-hmm. But that's where that church was. And so that was our early. And then, as I was going to say, my mother, at night when we'd be sitting around the table and playing card games or something, my mother would be making fried pies on the stove. And some nights she'd make donuts. We did have donuts.
On the stuff, on the...
We had a big coal stove.
Yes.
And where did you put the water in the side, and you put your water in the big stove, you know, we had.
Uh-huh.
And as far as the outdoors toilet, I never went to one in my life until I went down south.
Oh,
and
really?
I was 38 years old. I never seen an outdoor toilet. We always had a toilet in the house.
Ah. But you said something about fried pies.
Yeah, my mother used to make a dough, and she'd put the cooked apples in the dough, and pin it over, and then put it on in hot grease.
Oh.
And fried. That was fried pies. Peach pies, so they get the dried peaches, dried apples. And sometimes, depending on how she felt, she'd make crullers. And that would be our feast after we got to our games and we went to bed. But as far as running around, like up and down the streets and out in the street like you see kids today, we never did that. Mm. We weren't permitted to do that.
Mm-hmm. All of your, all of the recreation that you had was at home.
Was at our recreation
family.
Was at home.
With your family.
With the family.
And
as I came up and married, that's the way I brought up my children. My husband and I, we took them on picnics on Sundays. And we had a friend that used to live out, well, he would work for the hydraulic company, and he had a house out in Nichols, I think it's Nichols. And we used to go out there on Sundays. I'd fix a basket of everything, of all the food but the meat. And he used to kill rabbits, catch rabbits and squirrels. And he would fix the rabbit and the squirrel.
With the person where you were visiting?
Yeah. Uh-huh. And we would go out there and spend the day on Sunday. And the kids would just run around out there in the open and have a big time. And we would enjoy the outdoors and just have a Sunday picnic. And so as we come along, as my children grew up, that's the way all through our family, my children, my grandchildren, we have family picnics. And we all gather together, be about 50 or 60 of us get together. We have my sister's yard over there, we got here in later years, and we used to go to the park. We just used to go to Seaside Park or Beardsley Park for that yearly gathering, especially on holidays like Decoration Day or 4th of July and Labor Day. We'd always have these big picnic gatherings, you know, together. And then we had them at my sister's, as I say, later years, and she got a place where you could have her property, the whole block from Logan Street to Hewitt. And she had a beautiful yard there, and we'd go there for our picnics.
Yes.
And we'd have everybody gathered there.
Sounds like fun.
Oh, we used to have wonderful times. Oh, we were a family, and now my grandchildren are bringing up their children in the same way. And it's come down for four generations that we still have family gatherings, and they invite me. I was to one here just a couple of months ago. But that was the week before I went to the Saturday, before I went to the hospital. I did too much that weekend, and I should But anyway, that's the way that our family have lived in this city. And we've had, let's say my mother, she was a cook. She cooked with some of the best families around here. And my father, as a child, he was a clerk at a hotel down there in Water Street, where he was a clerk. And he was a butler, I think, when my mother got married for a family. It was right out here on Stratford Avenue. You can't believe Stratford Avenue had wealthy people out there. They had butlers and maids and nurses. And right there where that gasoline station on the corner of Waterview Avenue and Stratford Avenue was a beautiful big mansion with a porte-cochere on the side where the cars and the horses and things drove up in there and let the people out. And the place, now where that other big place is right there, this side, East Main Street, that's where my father worked. Over there on the corner of of East Washington and Noble was the biggest oyster man around here. And my aunt used to come up here from North Carolina in the summer and work there and go back in the winter, and because she had a lovely home down there, but she'd come up here for the summer and go back down in North Carolina and live like a lady and all winter long.
From her working in the summer?
Yeah, from working right here in the summer. She'd come right up here in the summer and work and go back down there.
Okay, you mentioned going to Maplewood School. Is that the same school that's still there now?
That's the same school that's right there now. They're building a new one. I went to that one that's right there in the old junior high school. Yes, uh-huh. That's the Maplewood School I went to, my brothers went to, my sister went to. And they taught you more in Maplewood School than they teach you coming out of high school now.
How was your relationship with other students there, being the only black?
Well, I had a good relationship with them. I know we were used to being among white people because my mother was among them all the time, and they used to come and we weren't on what you call social terms with them, mm-hmm. like that. I don't know, we just socialize like that. But I know more about them than I know about our own people. But our people, now at that time, now the blacks lived in Beardsley Street, Winter Street, down Newfield Avenue. And I'm telling you, that at that time, when you lived over in Beardsley Street, you was living somewhere. And we used to live in Winter Street. When I was a young child, we lived in Winter Street. And it seems that the woman, the house we lived in, she was selling the house or something. I don't just remember. But anyway, we had to move. We was living downstairs. She lived upstairs. And my father went out to rent a house. And naturally, always living in a decent neighborhood, that's what he wanted to live. We never lived in no, mm-hmm. never lived in no neighborhoods like you say, Lexington Avenue, places like that. We never lived in anything like that. And he went out and he rented a house, but my father looked like a white man. And they rented him the house. But then when he took my mother to look at the house, he wouldn't let him have the house. So then he had to take a place that we really didn't like. But it was a house over on Hostonic Avenue. But when we got out as fast as we could. That's right where the Brass Shop is today.
Oh,
the same ground. We could look out of our kitchen window into the Brass Shop fountain. The Brass Shop was just a wooden building in back of it, mm-hmm. in back of there. And we could, out our kitchen window, we could see the men working in the Brass Shop. And that's the land today where the Brass Shop is built on. That's the Brass Shop. That was,
so you've seen the Brass Shop come and go?
Yeah, I've seen the Brass Shop. And when my husband came to Bridgeport in 1915, that's the place he went to work, because then they were starting war work in Bridgeport. Mm-hmm. And he went to the Brass Shop to work. But then they had to register for the draft, and register for the draft. And it wasn't until after we had married, my baby was born, and my baby was 7 months old, and I picked up the paper one night. We was getting ready. They used to have band concerts here in the park. And I used to like to go to band concerts, and we all did. So we was going to go see if there's any band concert that night, where I was going to be. And I picked up the paper, I saw three names in there to report for duty. My husband had been called for the Army. He had no notice whatsoever, just stuck a name in the paper, three names.
Was that the procedure?
That was the procedure he got. There was John Hampton, Henry Cousins, and Henry McAiden. And that messed up everything. He didn't go. We did not know until after he came out of the service that he could have stayed home if he had gone to the brass shop because he was in war work, but we did not know that. And he just went on in there and got into the service. And the day, the week, the I hadn't heard from him in about a month. And the week before the day the armistice was signed, that week he was due to be shipped overseas.
Oh, talk about lucky.
But you know, he didn't get out of the army then until 6 months after the war was ended, because all those men that was left in camp here had to stay in the camp until all those men was brought back from overseas. Mm-hmm. And then they had to clean up the camps and leave the camps in order, and then before they was discharged. Yes. And over there they had a louse epidemic.
Lice epidemic.
Epidemic of lice.
You mean they have now?
Some kind. Not, and the men, my husband was a barber, so he had to shave all the hair off of them. That was his job. They had to shave every bit of hair anywhere it was on their body. They had to shave it off. And he was the barber.
So he was busy.
So he didn't get out of the army until 6 months after the armistice. The armistice was signed in November, and he didn't come out of the army until May. So he got out of the army.
When you were younger, you told me about the kinds of things that you did for recreation with your father and mother, and singing and all, and going to the church. You mentioned going to Zion after you got to be a teenager. What church did you go to before then?
Messiah Baptist. I was baptized in Messiah when I was 12 years old.
Uh-huh.
See, my father in his younger years, he was a superintendent of Sunday school in Messiah. And we used to go to Messiah all the time. And then, but after I got older and got to, I don't know, I joined Zion when I was about 16 years old. Mm-hmm. I was married in Zion. But I don't know, I always, even though I belonged to Messiah, there's something about Zion, I just liked it, even as a child. I liked Zion. Well, at the time they had a minister down there, the minister that married us, Reverend Ely. He had some teenage children, you know. And we used to just go down there, you know, and you know, our kids have a kid, draw kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I just always liked Zion. I used to go down to Zion, be around the maypole. My mother played the organ in Bethel Church. Bethel Church used to be on the other corner from us. That their original church was over on the other corner where Warner's parking lot is now. But they sold it because their church had gotten
old. Down across from Zion.
Uh-huh. Not across, right on the same side of the street, but just across the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Bethel Church used to be over there. And my mother used to play the organ for Bethel Church. And for a while, I sang in the kids' choir. There wasn't nothing to mention, but I sang in the kids' choir down there for a while.
In Bethel?
In Bethel.
So you just covered all the churches tonight. Good.
Then, as I say, but we went to Messiah Baptist Church. And some of my family, my sister-in-law, still goes to Messiah. She was always in Messiah. Mm-hmm. She went to Maplewood School with us. She was one of the kids that went to Maplewood School. Because
mm-hmm.
they lived out in Benham Avenue, she and her sister. And there was my two brothers, Alton Cooper, and myself. And I think there was a girl named Lillian Carl. I think she lived in a house. I think she went to Maplewood. Mm-hmm. And there was, That's all I can remember going out to. Oh, Louise Blake. She went out there. And Helen Williams. But none of us was in the same class in school.
Yes.
We was all scattered around, you know.
Uh-huh.
And different rooms. And then, of course, I did go to wheel school for a while because we lived in, after we left Housatonic Avenue, we moved to Harlab. And then we moved from Harlab to Ironton Avenue.
Uh-huh.
And then that's what spent most of our, you know, childhood, uh-huh, teenage life in Ironton. Mm-hmm.
So you sort of grew up on Ironton.
Ironton Avenue.
Uh-huh. What kind of chores did you do? Did you have any chores?
Oh, yes. I had chores. I had to raise the family. Because my mother, she worked all the time. Most of the time, she worked. And because my mother was, my oldest daughter is just like my mother. She's always got her hand in. She'd start a bakery. She'd start a laundry. And she would start everything. She was always starting something. She didn't make a big thing out of it, but she always started. One time, she had five people working for her. In laundry. She used to do the laundry for all the nurses. One time she was the head of the nurses' registry, the housekeeper for the nurses' registry out in Fairfield Avenue, 1048, where it's Fanny Crosby Homes now. She was the housekeeper there, and she did all the laundry for the nurses, and she worked out there and had these people home working it, doing the laundry.
What is that home's name?
It's the Fanny Crosby, I think.
Yes.
That's
okay.
That's 1088 Fairfield Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And well, my mother worked there for Miss Bonneman. Miss Bonneman was the she run the place. My mother was the housekeeper there. And then my mother used to she used to do homemade bakery, and she'd send us out with the loaves of bread all around. People used to buy her bread, and we'd go out and deliver the bread for her. And she did all kinds of things, you know. And then she'd go out and cook big dinners.
She sounds like quite a parent.
She was. She used to cook at the United Church. She used to cook up at the Spinning Wheel.
That was a restaurant.
And her restaurant up is still up there, up in East and up somewhere up there. She used to cook up there. Then she cooked for the Ann Rebecca Tea Room in Stanford, and I went down there one summer and worked with her as a pantry maid in the Ann Rebecca Tea Room. And but that's what my mother was. She was a person that she couldn't be still. She had to be doing something. And when it come to cooking, she was a cook.
She could do it, huh?
And then after she stopped working, anybody in the church that had anything or was given any dinners or anything, she'd go down and help them. It didn't make any difference who they were. And the men, she was always ready to help the men to do them. She'd help everybody. It didn't make any difference. She belonged to the Ladies Aid Society. And she worked in that, and she belonged to the Home Mission Society, and she belonged to the HHOZs. And she was a church lady.
A doer.
Oh yeah, she was a doer, and if anything they had to do and sell tickets, she could outsell tickets. And Women's Day come along, she would get out there and raise the money. And one year she brought in more money than anybody else. But she was like that. And then, as family relations, we had good family relations.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I guess I feel kind of, I don't know, maybe I'm a little stuffy about our family relations, because really there's people, few people believe, and I have my children often tell me that when they tell people about their family life, they don't hear tell of our people having family life like we have, but we have, and that's the truth.
It's lucky, you're lucky.
Yes.
That's good.
We're lucky our parents, my parents, started out with us that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I continued it on with my children. And my children continue it on. and their children are continuing on. Now I went down this summer. We had my grandson. He was here. He came here yesterday for a little while. So he brought one of his kids up to Bridgeport for a week. One of his sons. And we went.